Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Hearing, Seeing, Believing, Telling. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
A reading from Luke's Gospel. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth to Galilee in Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Our reading from Luke chapter 2 continues. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby, a child, wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Friends, this is the good news, and let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of this night, for the gift of this birth, for the privilege to now sit beneath the teaching of your word and pray that our hearts may be touched in a way that we may follow and serve him, honor and glorify him now and always. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the year 312 AD, the Emperor Constantine had an experience with the risen Christ that changed his life radically, and that of the Roman Empire, and it is safe to say that of the entire course of human history. A decade or so later, he gave his mother, Helena, the unlimited resources of the imperial treasury in order for her to go out to discover and experience the particular places of significance in the life and ministry of Jesus. Now, it's not beyond the stretch of our imagination to say that she was successful in doing so. Visit any small town or any region today and inquire as to where some significant place, some significant event took place 50 years, 75, 100 years ago. And locals will be able to tell you with a high degree of accuracy and certainty who, what, where, when, how that event took place. So when Helena visited the small towns of Nazareth and Bethlehem, even the larger city of Jerusalem, inquiring as to where Jesus lived and worked, where he slept, where he performed his miracles, she was shown with reliable accuracy where those events took place. And in those places, she put markers and later built buildings, churches, cathedrals, so that others might also make pilgrimage to see them there. Now, I might add, she had an advantage in her venture to find these holy places. One of the emperors, Hadrian, during the pre-Christian era, that is before Constantine, was intent on wiping out the memory of Jesus or any evidence of as having lived or ministered in Palestine, so he too commissioned a similar expedition. However, everywhere he discovered a place of significance in the life and ministry of Jesus, he built a pagan temple. And so by the time Helena came along, all she needed to do was follow the breadcrumbs left by Hadrian, destroy all the pagan temples, and erect new ones honoring Jesus. In Nazareth, still today, the Church of the Annunciation, where the angel Gabriel appeared to the Virgin Mary announcing that she had been chosen by God to be the mother of Messiah. In Bethlehem, the Church of the Nativity marks the place where he was born. In Jerusalem, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where he was crucified, dead, buried, and 3 days later rose again from the dead. All of these places we can visit still today, as do pilgrims from around the world, just as Helena did, and just as she intended. And so on the outskirts of Bethlehem, in a little village called Beth-Shur, which is believed to be the field where the shepherds were out keeping watch over their flock by night, that place where they were encamped with their sheep. Now try not to imagine a lush Indiana pasture with green grass and flowing streams here, but instead a desolate, barren place with a stubble of grass growing up amidst rocky crags and open caves such that shepherds could put sheep in during the night to keep them safe or out of inclement weather. That is the setting of Beth-Shur, and that is the setting of our story from Luke chapter 2. On that site is built a small church, built over a cave, marking that place. And just above the entrance to the chapel is a magnificent sculpture of an angel with outspread arms. The interior of the chapel is very small, with only a lectern and an altar, but the front of the chancel is beautifully ordained by three large paneled paintings of what happened there. Earlier this evening at our family service, I told the children this story by taking the part of that shepherd, pointing to those pictures. Those pictures are also on your bulletin this evening. In between services tonight, I got an email from our granddaughter, 5 years old in Houston, Texas. She watched with her family our live stream of that service, and right in the middle of it, she looked at her mother and said, "Papa was there when Jesus was born?" So, as familiar as we are with this story, I'd like for us to focus a few moments on the shepherd's experience of hearing, of seeing, of believing, and of telling. Because I believe it gives a beautiful and powerful example of how we come to faith still today. The first panel on the front cover of your bulletin depicts the shepherds out in the field, again, doing what shepherds do, keeping watch over their flock by night. Notice their surprise, the shocked look on their faces when the angel of the Lord appeared to them. They simply weren't expecting this kind of angel visitation, this kind of divine revelation. They were simply going about their everyday lives when God suddenly broke into their otherwise ordinary routines. I believe that God continues to work in exactly the same way today. Remember, if you can, when you first came to faith, how that came to be for you. Or if you're not yet a person of faith, please stay with this story. I believe God's not done with you yet. Faith comes to most of us in some very ordinary way, through some kind of a messenger, admittedly, but most likely not an angel, but more likely as an ordinary someone, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, who in a very natural, personal way tells us about Jesus. Faith comes first by our hearing, which implies that there is someone who will tell us this good news. Now, admittedly, the angel terrified the shepherds. So the first words we hear the angel say is, "Fear not, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." Well, we may not have been terrified or even startled when someone first told us the message of Jesus, but still it was good news, and a seed of faith was planted within us. And that first bit of knowledge about Jesus became the starting point of faith in Jesus. The good news which the angel shared there and then comes to us here and now still today. To you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. Now, admittedly, that rather formal message of the angels is likely not how you first heard this news about Jesus. And my guess is you didn't experience a multitude of angels singing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those his favor when you first heard. But more likely, you heard someone tell in their very own words of God's great love for you, about God's mercy and grace and forgiveness, about his willingness to give you a new beginning, a fresh start, the promise of eternal life. Faith comes by hearing the word. And that good news may have come as a shock or a surprise to you, to think that God could love the likes of me. The second step of faith, now I'm turning to the inside cover of your bulletin, comes when we explore what we have seen and heard to see if it really is true or if it could be true for us. This is still not faith, but it is the necessary next step in coming to faith. We need to see for ourselves whether what we've heard about Jesus really is good news. And the shepherds did the same. This is what we see happening in this second panel. Luke tells us they decided to go and see for themselves if what the angel said to them was true, saying, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." Well, it wasn't that they doubted the angels any more than you would doubt what your friend told you about Jesus. But faith is more than simply the accumulation of facts and figures. And it's certainly more than the collection of repressed questions and doubts. Now, genuine faith comes when we explore the truths that have been given to us so that we can examine them and experience them for ourselves. And for some of us, that exploration and examination comes very easily and happens very quickly. We know the truth as soon as we hear it, and we welcome it readily and gladly. For others, not so much. That which comes instantaneously to some takes years to develop in others. So we who are tellers and we who are receivers of this good news need to be reminded of this again and again, that faith is always a gift from God, and God works in his own schedule with each one of us. Faith isn't something that we can manipulate or force. Rather, it is something that we can patiently nurture and encourage and pray for in ourselves and in others. When the shepherds finally found the child, they also came to believe that the good news they had been told really was good news. And by accepting it, they came to faith. Another word for faith is trust. Oh, we can have knowledge about Jesus. That is, we can have heard certain information about him that in and of itself is not necessarily faith. We can come to agree with the information that we've been given about him, that he was born, that he lived, that he died, that he was a good teacher, that maybe he was a charismatic leader, maybe even a miracle worker. We can know all sorts of things about Jesus, the man, and still not have faith in him. Now, faith is that third and absolutely essential next step in this progression. After our faith after our knowledge about him and our agreement with what we have heard about him, faith is when we accept the truth about him, that he really is the Son of God, that he really is God in human flesh, that he really does love us with an unconditional love, love even us. Faith that he suffered and he died for our sins to show us his love, and in so doing, rose again to be our Savior and Lord. In the opening verses of John's Gospel, we read, "To all who received him, to all who believed in him, he gave power to become children of God." Faith comes when we receive him and believe in him, when we find him, or truer still, when he finds us, and we come to trust that he has done something for us which we cannot do for ourselves, namely save us, bring us back into a right relationship with God. Is that what the shepherds experienced that night long ago in Beth-Sahur? We don't really know. Luke doesn't tell us. But what he does tell us is that after having seen this infant child for themselves, they returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. We are told that the shepherds went back to their everyday, ordinary routines by a very different route, as with the Magi, who would come to worship him later, as do all who encounter him up close and personal. You see, like Constantine of old, when we have an encounter with the risen Lord, we are changed. And as a result of it, the world around us is changed. And so in the third panel, we look closely at the youngest shepherd. He is jumping for joy over what he has seen and heard, and he is ready to tell the world the good news. So friends, this is my prayer for you and for us on this holy night, that we may leave this place with the same excitement and joy as that young shepherd boy, no longer as seekers, but now as ones who have been found, no longer as hearers only, but now as tellers of this good news of great joy which has come to all the people. For to us has been born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And his name is Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your love, the perfect gift of your love, given to us in Jesus, the child of Bethlehem, the one we call Savior and Lord. May we, like those that night, have open hearts to hear and receive, to welcome him anew, that we might bring you honor and glory. These and all things we pray through Christ our Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. If you would like to listen to today's message again, there are many ways to do so. Subscribe to the Tab podcast on iTunes and other apps, or go to tabpres.org and tap on the graphic marked Sermons. If you prefer a CD copy, call us at 317-923-5458. That's 317-923-5458. Please mention today's date. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel, and at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening. And join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.